Ohio Governor Mike DeWine isn't requiring Ohioans wear masks when in public, but he says he will, and he strongly encourages everyone else to do the same. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention also recommend wearing a mask to help stop the spread of the coronavirus. That idea is making some African Americans, especially Black men, uncomfortable. You're listening to 91.7 WVXU on NPR One. I'm Tana Weingartner. The same day Governor DeWine made his mask recommendation, Aaron Thomas of Columbus was thinking about what precautions he should take for an upcoming grocery run. He remembered he had some bandanas he could turn into face masks.
The more I thought about it, I was like, no, I don't feel comfortable walking into a grocery store or Target or something wearing a bandana specifically over my face. And the more I thought about it, the more dangerous it seemed.
Thomas tweeted about his concern, saying he'd only feel okay with a proper and official mask because, quote, I am a Black man living in this world. I want to stay alive, but I also want to stay alive. The Boston Globe reached out and Thomas penned an op-ed. Response to both has been good, he says, and it shows he's not alone in his fear.
I completely trust in the advice to cover your face, to do all that, but it has to be crystal clear what is on my face and why. I don't want any room for interpretation or confusion.
For him, that means something like a surgical mask is fine, but a bandana or most home-sewn masks are out. Rodney Coates is a professor of critical race and ethnic studies at Miami University. He says the wearing of face masks, like everything in America, has to be viewed through the lens of race, class, gender, and history.
And let's be real about it. We have this long history of fear of Black men and fear of Black men in public places.
He points to incidents like the shooting death of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin, who was perceived as dangerous because he wore a hoodie. The United States has a long history of making assumptions and passing judgments on African Americans based on doing something like wearing a mask or face covering. The practice of racial profiling is also well established. Add on top of that everyone's heightened stress and fear because of the pandemic, and Coates calls it a perfect storm.
There's been a continual dismissal by whites of Black and brown and gender insecurities and anxieties. And there's this typical response, oh, it can't be that bad. It's not that bad until you are faced with dealing with other people's responses to you for doing and being you.
African Americans are making decisions like whether to wear a face covering at a time when Black communities across the country are experiencing higher rates of COVID-19 infections and deaths. President and CEO Renee Mahaffey Harris at the Center for Closing the Health Gap points to decades-long disparities in access to healthy food, housing, health care, and more.
What's bearing out in the data now is symptomatic of the data that has always existed, which is, you know, your quality of life factors from where you live, affecting how long you live, to whether or not you live in an environment that has access to the healthy things that you need.
She says that makes it even more important to make sure people in marginalized and underserved communities have access to good information. She points to COVID-19CommunityResources.com, a website the Health Gap and others launched last month for just that purpose. Back to Aaron Thomas in Columbus, he wants people to be more conscientious of each other.
The way we move, the way we're living, everything is changing. And my hope is that people will begin to implore some deep thought and deep common sense about how they treat people in their communities and the people that they interact with out in public.
However, he says he remains wary nothing will change and people will hang on to their fears and biases about African Americans and people of color in public places. Tana Weingartner, 91.7 WVXU.